Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I got a topic we got to talk about, and it's just so important. I'm enthused to talk about it, and I actually just wrote about it. I just wrote a column about it. You may have seen it in the paper, and it is about elder abuse, financial abuse, exploitation, and I've got a big gun on the line. You know, if I can bring somebody in to reinforce these messages and talk about these topics, well, guess what? We're going to do that, and I have a repeat guest. He hasn't been on for a while, but he's been busy. And his name is Don Blandon. He is president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust. His website is investorprotection.org. Our topic today, as I said earlier, is elder investment fraud. I ran across a recent article that Don wrote. And I said, we got to get Don back on. And I had just written about this in the paper. And I said, perfect time to get him on. So, Don, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome. I know you are busy, and we're glad to have you. Let's talk a little bit about your organization for those folks who have not heard of Investor Protection, the Investor Protection Trust, nonprofit organization, and you're all about investor education. Founded back in what, 1993?
1993. We just last September observed our 20th anniversary.
Wow. That went fast.
That did. And I've been here 10 years.
So wow. Well, good for you.
Half of it.
Well, listen, I say this to the veterans, but I'll say it to you too. Thank you for your service to our country, because we need guys like you protecting Americans and helping to bring education and knowledge to this very important area. So what's the latest? I ran across an article. There's some new stuff coming out. Kind of give us an update on what you've been up to and some of the latest things, and then we'll get into some of the things we can help with people being on the lookout for elder abuse.
Sure. But just for your listeners, let me just say that the Investor Protection Trust is a nonprofit charitable foundation, and we do investor education for all ages in the schools with every cohort that currently exists, the traditionalists, sometimes called the World War II generation, the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, and the millennials. And so all four cohorts at the same time get our attention, but this particular discussion we're going to have today is related to a conversation we had once before on how to stop elder financial exploitation among, obviously, elders, seniors.
Sure.
And it's a big topic, and it's getting worse because it's growing. And our own survey work indicated that today about 20% of older Americans say they have been financially exploited. And what that means in terms of dollars, according to a 2009 survey, which, by the way, all these reports and research findings are on our website, $2.6 billion in 2009 was uncovered as annual losses by older victims. And in 2011, it increased to $2.9 billion, so almost $3 billion, and probably by now over that amount, every year is lost by seniors to financial fraud and exploitation. So what we're trying to do is find ways to identify potential victims before the bad deed occurs and try to protect them from it happening. Because if some person loses their entire life savings overnight or in a couple of days, it can be totally devastating, as you will know. So, we started with the medical community. And let me just give you a quick update.
Sure, I've seen that.
We have trained 7,800 healthcare professionals in 86 continuing medical education presentations in 32 states in the District of Columbia. So almost 8,000 medical professionals have already been trained to spot among their patients in their offices and elsewhere that a person who might be a victim or about ready to become a victim of elder financial exploitation, and where to report it, where to get help,
Excellent. How
they can help their patients. And so that's one thing we've been doing.
Excellent. And then you've gone on. I think the thing that caught my eye is you had gone also to communication or education with attorneys as well?
That's correct. We now have a alliance with the American Bar Association, and it's 400,000 members worldwide. And it's a very large organization, and they are willing to take part and are spearheading, actually, a new campaign to address, the estimated 20% of older Americans who have become victims of investment fraud and financial exploitation. So in a survey of 674 practicing attorneys, we found that many of them are aware or have seen already in their practice people who are at risk of financial exploitation. So we're trying to provide them with tools through this initiative so that lawyers can not only help their clients, but they can help themselves. Because unfortunately, as a colleague of mine at the ABA says, a lawyer who is ignorant of elder financial exploitation and fails to recognize its signs may unwittingly participate in victimizing the client or fail to protect the client from harm because they haven't spotted the signs and they're doing things like, for example, aiding in the transfer of power of attorneys to someone who shouldn't get it. And you know those.
So
if that happens and that's discovered and they didn't try to prevent it, they could face themselves professional discipline and liability for malpractice.
Definitely, Don. Hey, listen. Good work. You're right on the money. No pun intended. With doctors and attorneys. So doctors, attorneys. Next up, CPAs and financial folks.
I'm glad you asked because I've got CPAs right here on my list and had a meeting just the other day with their national organization. CPAs, and think about it. Still in the medical field, pharmacists. Who see patients
They
see something strange going on that they could perhaps talk to the family and see how they could help prevent financial exploitation. And that's what we're about with the emphasis on the word prevention. We know we'll always be chasing people who have done bad deeds, trying to get the money back, which we usually can't. So let's try to prevent it.
Well put, Don. And you know, the key thing with prevention, Here's the real talk about the percentages of people that this affects. The prevention part of this is so critical. Obviously, once the exploitation has occurred, you know, it's devastating. There's just nothing good. I mean, it's just rotten. But the thing that really strikes me and gets me passionate about this subject is the prevention part, because I came across, when I was writing my column, I did some research on this, and I came across a statistic that I'm sure you're familiar with, but for our listeners, that only one in 44 cases are ever reported, and that because a lot of people are embarrassed, they're afraid, so that this is one of the more underreported types of crimes or victimization that goes on in our country, and the impact is just so we only see the tip of the iceberg here.
Mm-hmm. And we are. It's vastly underreported.
So that prevention element, and so you know that you talked about the people that are seeing that person that is maybe being exploited, the doctor, the attorney, accountants are up on deck, but it's also the folks around them that can lend that helping hand to be on the lookout for, you know, things that can maybe spot or raise a red flag. Because, you know, people don't see their, you know, hopefully they don't have to see their doctor more than a couple times a year. But, you know, you see your friends and family, you know, hopefully often, right?
That's right.
And so I'd like to get into some of that, because that's also, you know, we have our circles, we have our friends, if for example, you see that friend all of a sudden, their personality changes or there's something going on and they don't want to talk about it, you know, it might be exploitation.
And let me just, while we're on this topic about reluctance, let me just also say that, you know, given the reluctance or inability of an older victim to report exploitation, the professionals who provide direct services should try to screen all older persons to assess whether that problem has occurred or is occurring. So often a victim will not disclose exploitation voluntarily, but may do so if asked. So, for example, in some doctor's offices now, in addition to, you know, taking your blood pressure and other routine things they do, they are now starting to ask, are there any financial stresses on you? Because, you know, the financial stresses can also have a medical impact on that particular patient. So establishing the practice of asking everyone reduces the stigma felt by the victim and helps the professional feel more comfortable about asking sensitive questions. And these are sensitive questions.
They are.
So,
and
they have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, Don. I mean, and that's one more question on the list, you know. You know, Do you smoke? Do you drink? Have you been financially exploited? I mean, it's really, no, all kidding aside, it's a great place for that to be asked. There is a stigma, and because people don't, they are embarrassed that it happened to them. They don't want to be looked on differently by their friends or family. You know, and it's a real sad part of this, and I know you know all about this, Don, is often it is family or other people that are, you know, trusted persons, their caretakers, their friends, you know, maybe somebody that is a friend at the bank, you know, that's always nice to them. Even stories of pastors that they are the people that commit these crimes.
Yes, and unfortunately, most of the financial exploitation is occurred within the family, you know, followed by people they know, people they don't know, but it's really happening too often in the family. And again, you know, if we start asking questions by people who are trying to take care of the person and they see and they have a relationship that allows for those questions to be asked, asking questions about and indicating an awareness of the issue suggests to victims or potential victims that they can turn to the professional for help in the future, even if they're not ready to do so now. So in other words, we get it on the table, we get it out, and, you know, and we make sure everybody knows that we really need a village here of all of us looking after one another. Because if losses are significant, and it might force choices between out-of-pocket healthcare costs for these seniors, and whether to pay for routine living expenses. So if they have to go with routine living expenses, with all of us usually have to, and you can't get your health care, that could be a major clinical issue in the future.
Amen, Don. I mean, you're right on the money. President and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, Don Blandon. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Don Blandon on the line with us, President and CEO of Investor Protection Trust. Why seniors? Why older Americans, Don? Why are they the target?
All of us should be aware of financial exploitation, because if you have money, there's likely going to be somebody out there who's going to also want it, whether they get it illegally or legally. But there's going to, you know, this is just going to occur, financial exploitation. So you have to be particularly diligent in this area, because seniors are more vulnerable, usually because of things like mild cognitive impairment. You know, it's not dementia, it's not Alzheimer's, but
they're slowing down.
It can impair your ability to make good decisions. 35% of persons 71 years old today have mild cognitive impairment, MCI. You could be doing everything you've always done. You can drive a car, you can go to a movie, you can go to the theater, you can have nice chats with people, but if somebody puts in front of you something complicated and it involves your signing off a portion of your finances, you may not understand it, but you may shake your head that it's okay, because you are less risk-averse with mild cognitive impairment, meaning you make the wrong decision. So you accept something as good for you when you knew yesterday it really wasn't. Mm. So you have to be careful with that. And persons with MCI make four times the financial errors than those without the condition. So elders and seniors losing significant amounts don't have the time to recoup their losses. So you can see that what this leads to. I mean, people say, well, I'm going to be okay. But but what about somebody you know who isn't going to be okay?
Right.
And they lose their house, they can't pay taxes, et cetera. That's going to be a major financial drain on our economy going forward, as the baby boomers in particular age.
That's a great point, Don. And you brought me to, you know, one of the reasons why I think that elders or seniors are a target, in addition to what you said, is that age 50 and up, they control 70% of the assets in the country. So, I mean, it's not only are they potentially more vulnerable, but that's where the money is.
That's where the money is. Exactly.
The other thing, I had a couple of other observations, and you can tell me what you think, but you know, they tend to have, and there's nothing wrong with this, but they're a little more predictable daily routines. You know, not necessarily going to jump in the car and drive to another state and back just for the heck of it. You know, a little more predictable. As technology has advanced, you know, it's a little more involved. And, of course, a lot of financial stuff now is more technologically related. And they do reach out to having people help them, you know, these helpers, the caretakers and other mm-hmm. people or family getting involved that, you know, does put them in a position to be dependent on or having these relationships where they could be preyed upon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading right from your notes, Don. I know you believe and you're very tuned into this. And for our listeners, that was a joke. I don't have Don's notes, but I know that he and I both share some of these things.
Yeah, we have similar playbooks.
We do. And it's just so important that the other back to the part of this, and this is the uncomfortable part. All of this is uncomfortable, but this is especially to think that a family member could prey on, you know, a parent or uncle or aunt or whatever the case may be, child taking advantage of their parent. But there are, you know, people can justify things, as you know, Don, that they say it's a child taking advantage of a parent. You know, they might feel like, hey, you know what, this money's going to be mine anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it's going to be mine anyway, and I need it now.
Exactly.
So.
I need it now, and if I don't get it, they're going to end up in a nursing home, and it's all going to go to the nursing home. So really, it's a question of, do I get it or the nursing home gets it? You see
the
rationale?
Yes, real ethical issue, isn't it?
That's how some of these folks rationalize this, or, you know, there might be, you know, obviously issues in the family, or it could even be that they have a grudge against another family member, a sibling, says, well, if I get the money now, I won't have to share it with my brother or my sister.
Yeah, and that happens all too often. And we see all these cases on a daily basis. And I'll get calls regularly from a sister whose other sister she's concerned about because she's been influencing the mother to send back to her for her good keeping for her mother all the money. Mm. And then when her mother goes to look for it, it's just not there anymore. So it's something where we really have to... you have a situation of power attorney, there's got to be some monitoring in there in terms of what happened to that. Because I heard a story the other day where someone basically, the son got the money and spent $3,000 of it because he knew that mom always wanted him to go to Pebble Beach to play golf. So, you know, that's just not right.
There's a lot of... there's a lot of different situations that what can happen. And this is where, again, this is where if the family's the one doing it, Don, then this is where the friends or other people, other relationships they have can be tuned into these things. And one of the things I ran across was kind of a quick rundown of some of the things that can really reveal or maybe be red flags. Could be things like suspicious phone calls or new best friends, quote unquote, or, you know, eviction notices or disconnected utilities, missing statements. And on the person themselves, this is a real telltale sign. Big change in mood or personality, loss of trust, depression, fear, shame, guilt, anger, self-doubt, remorse. All these emotions that all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden Bob's a different guy and he's just, something's different. Then that might be the time to say, you know, maybe we need to look into this.
Mm-hmm. And if we try to get it into the mindset of people that as people age, just asking a little extra questionnaire to see if there's any stresses related to financial. And if we ask it of everyone, you know, it doesn't look like we're targeting people saying, geez, you're not smart enough to do what you're supposed to be doing. That's not the point. We want, I mean, I've had my, I'm in that age zone. So, you know, I've had conversations with my kids who are in their 20s saying, if your dad starts doing this and this, call me on it. Take me out. Because that's not what I would do. You know, so again, you know, having some discussions, we have great opportunity coming up. In addition to probably eating a lot, too much food and watching too much sports, maybe during Thanksgiving we can squeeze in another little discussion that hopefully will be welcome by the whole family if they know how to engage in a way that is not threatening to one family member or another.
Well, that's a good point. And Don's got a lot of great resources over at Investor Protection Nonprofit. This is their purpose, investor education, investorprotection.org. We'll grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Don Blandon. Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Don Blanding on the line with us, and we're talking about prevention. Prevention for elder abuse, financial exploitation, and how to help spot it, help look out for this. And, you know, one of the things too, Don, that I know that people listening to this are going to want to know is, if I see signs, I'm concerned, what do I do? How do I, you know, I don't really want to go over and confront the son about taking money from mom. So how do I take action while, you know, getting it properly resolved without putting myself in a bad spot?
Well, there are a lot of different services available, such as Adult Protective Services and other nonprofits that can help with that approach.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's like in the area of Homeland Security, the slogan, if you see something, say something.
Hmm.
And, you know, we might not want to enter into an awkward situation. On the other hand, we got to do something, because if you find out later that it could have been prevented, you're going to feel worse than if you had a difficult conversation with someone that you might bet that is involved in exploitation. So there's law enforcement officials. There are other individuals by state, and really it's all over the map in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, who is the best group to call. But my recommendation would be start with letting us know, and I'll find out where you are. For example,
cool.
In Florida, we know where the sources are that can be trusted and can help explore with you what your options are. It's hard for me to say do it or not do it, because I don't know the family situation. I mean, there's some families that you wouldn't want to take that on at all, and there might be just others where there's a number of family members suspecting that someone in the family is doing something because they feel they need the money and they know that somebody else has it, and in some cases it's being driven by factors that are hard to deal with, such as drug addiction,
sure.
for example, or gambling addiction, something that is causing them to do this. And as you said earlier, sometimes family members might say, well, there's a lot of money there and I could really use some now, you know, that type of thing. And they actually convince themselves that, particularly if they have any ability to get direct access to it, that it's theirs and they'll take it.
Well, and there's ways they can do that. You know, some of the techniques we've seen, Don, and I know you're quite aware of this, is some of the signs, some of the techniques, using ATM cards, stealing checks, using the power of attorney you mentioned earlier, that, you know, which is can be a license to steal, because when you give somebody your power of attorney, they can act as you in terms of going to the bank or doing other things. There's other things that may not be as obvious, and this is, again, where people need to be on the lookout for this, and that's somebody trying to control that person might threaten them with physical harm, or might refuse to get them the care they need because they want to keep control of them, keep custody of them, so they can keep milking the cow, that financial money, getting to it as you say, getting it now when they need it.
Well, that's basically what happened in the rather well-known case of Mickey Rooney, when his stepson basically just took everything out of his hands and threatened him by saying, you don't know what you're doing, and we're keeping you away from this, and then ended up spending what he had. So Brooke asked her, after she reached a certain age, she wasn't capable of spending her own money, so they pretty much kept her locked in her apartment while her son took all the money. Now, this is really a crazy case, because he would have gotten a lot of it anyway, and she had millions, but he didn't want to wait, and there were other factors involved and other influences, so he and his lawyer and others went to jail over this. So, you have to kind of look for the warning signs, and you mentioned a few of them before. But have conversations about money. I mean, we all should do that after the last recession. question.
Absolutely.
You know, how are we doing?
Right, so. Right. Well, and I'll, you mentioned there's a lot of resources, and I'll reiterate and reinforce and applaud and jump up and down with a sign that says speak up, because it is so important. There are a lot of resources. You can go to Don's, the Investor Protection Trust, the website, investorprotection.org, and a lot of links and a lot of great education. But you can also, for example, in Florida, we talked about local law enforcement, but you can also go to, a lot of times, as you know, Don, there are the departments set up within each state. Florida, for example, has got the Department of Children and Families. It's myflfamilies.com. So my Florida, so it's myflfamilies.com. People can go on. They can file a report if they see something suspicious. And, you know, I'll go out on a limb here, Don, and say that if somebody suspects something, report it. If it's nothing, it's nothing, but it's not just that $3 billion a year that you talked about, Don. That's crazy, but it's the emotional and mental and physical impact on the victim that we just have to work hard to prevent.
Exactly.
I feel strongly about it, Don. I know you do. Any final thoughts of what people can do to really do the best they can with this?
Well, just remember, you're gonna hear more about it, unfortunately. Know that it's really the illegal or improper use of another individual's resources for your own, for personal gain, personal profit of someone else. It's illegal or improper use of another's individual resource, and that's what we're trying to protect from happening when someone pulls that, figures out a way to access that. And it's going to continue to happen, and fortunately, a lot of families now are dealing with it, and a lot of professional groups like the doctors, like the lawyers, are also basically doing more things than they've done before. This isn't something that just kind of came around. It's been with us for a long time, but because it's rising, it's just everyone's trying to step up the pace to strengthen and secure the legal rights, the dignity, autonomy, quality of life, and quality of care of seniors and elders in this country. So that's basically the mission of the ABA Commission on Law and Aging, and that's the group that's leading this effort on behalf of lawyers everywhere.
Don, you've got it going on. Thank you, sir. Don Blanding, President and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. Don, good to have you back. We'll have you back again.
Thank you, David, and thank you very much for all your listeners who are helping us in this area.
Our
prevent
pleasure.
Financial exploitation.
Excellent.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.